IVM IVM
Hey everyone, this is your daily dose of everything that's happening in the world of NBA. I am Monish and joining me as he does always is Nishant and you're listening to The Airball Diaries. We had just the two games today, but two closeout games, and while the Bucks and the Warriors progressed to round two, we also bid farewell to the Chicago Bulls and the Denver Nuggets. All about these two games and a lot more to look forward to in today's episode, so let's get started.
Whether you're an established sports person or a budding one, or simply a sports enthusiast, join us, Tanvi and Shlok.
We are two passionate pro badminton players talking policy, mindset and everything sport.
So tune in to the Millennial Athlete every Monday.
Only on the IVM Podcast Network.
Trust us, it's going to be lit.
Let's start off with the game that just got over, Warriors and the Nuggets. We are talking, recording this right 1 hour after the game. So fresh off that game. And it was a great contest. It was a great playoff matchup. The Denver Nuggets going into fourth quarter with an 8-point lead. Was there a while in which you thought, oh no, the Warriors need to travel to Denver for game six and then away game six, never know what will happen? Was there a phase where you felt that it could, you know, don't know what's going to happen, or you always felt that the Warriors are going to close this out because more experienced team, better lineup, closers, great finishers, great 3-point shooters, immense defense? What were you thinking during the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's the playoffs. Defense always gives you confidence. The defense is solid all the way through. And this is with multiple people showing up for the Nuggets. Aaron Gordon had a great first half, though quiet second half, but he was rock solid in the first half. Bunch of players, basically everyone shy of Jeff Green put up double digits. Yep. Among the ones that they would expect to score. And with all that support, Jokic having a great game. He had what, 18, 19 rebounds by
end of the time.
End of the third. But also in foul trouble, 5 fouls, right?
And yep, all of them in the third quarter.
Yeah, which is, I guess somewhere that shows a little lack of playoff experience. Because he'll get used to this year after year. He's bound to be there in the playoffs every year. He's good enough to get any team there. That was avoidable. One racking up 5 in a quarter is super hard, especially when you're not. I mean, it's not like you're defending Shaq or an Embiid or whatever. Right? There's really nobody troubling you that much. So there were reckless fouls, avoidable, and that kind of put him in a tough spot. I thought other teams would have punished Jokic a whole lot more. Probably could have easily got him ejected.
Right.
Golden State doesn't have anyone with that kind of size to take it to Jokic in the paint. Imagine, say, like a Paul George or a LeBron, anyone with that kind of size who can drive to the rim. Ja Morant would have punished Jokic. He would have got him fouled out in no time. Yep. You either touch me and you're fouled out, or you don't, and it's easy 2 points for me every time.
Yep. Yep.
So all these considered, I just didn't feel like, with everyone firing, also the Warriors looked more or less comfortable. And with Jokic in foul trouble, it really wasn't going to go anywhere.
Agreed. I think just a correction, he had 4 fouls in the third quarter and the 5th foul came early in the fourth quarter. So just a miss over there. But Steph tried to get aggressive on him and got called for an offensive foul. The refereeing was kind of suspect. Yeah. The refereeing was kind of funny. I think Draymond got called for a lot of questionable fouls as well. I don't think they were fouls, but I think they kept going at it. Mm. Great games though. DeMarcus Cousins showed up. He playoff career high of 19 points. I'm surprised. I thought he would have had games with more than that. But surprisingly, just his 15th playoff game. I was surprised looking at the stats.
Yeah, just garbage teams. Outside of that Warriors stint, he was just
on. Yeah.
Rubbish teams.
Aaron Gordon had a great first half. 15. And he looked like the guy who would punish the Warriors today because their lack of size, right? He kept going at Draymond Green. Tried to get Draymond in foul trouble because, you know, if Draymond goes out, then the Warriors have no chance.
Oh, yeah.
But second half, I think they came out with a plan to shut him out, and he got literally 0 points in the second half.
Yeah, he punished the Nuggets in the second half.
Steph, incredible as always, 30 points. Klay had an okay game, 15, didn't really, was not his efficient self. But I think for the wild card for Warriors in this game was GP2, especially in the second half. Came out, got a bunch of three pointers, amazing defense, always troubling the Nuggets guys, whomever he's put on. At some point he was even guarding DeMarcus Cousins or even Jokic for that matter. He's like the small big guy. And these are the kind of players you really want in a playoff or a championship contending team, right? I mean, you remember even last year for the Bucks, there were a lot of players who were coming off the bench performing. You just need those 10, 12 minutes of performance from them. Like you had Pat Connaughton last year. Correct. He played a little more because he was in the starting lineup. But Bryn Forbes, if you remember in the series against the Hawks, he was great. They are kind of guys. I think the Warriors have a bunch of them. GP2, Kuminga, Looney when required. They have Moses Moody, who was not really needed today, but he's great as well. Belica didn't come out today and play.
Yeah.
Otto Porter Jr. A bunch of guys who can come out.
Yeah,
JTA. They have a bunch of guys who can come out and play those 8, 10, 12 minutes and it makes a lot of difference. I think this is really... the Warriors are looking like their early season Warriors, which was like championship contenders. I think they had a big slump when Draymond got injured. He's a guy who really binds this team together, isn't it? I didn't even mention his performance, but every single game he turned up, guarded Jokic. You look at the box scores, it doesn't show much because Jokic got 30 points almost every game and Draymond hardly got anything. But if you watch the game, you'll see that he ended up with plus 12, which is the highest across both teams. In the previous game, which was a 5-point loss, he had plus 18.
Yeah.
First two games, he had plus 21, plus 20. And that shows Draymond's impact on this team. He's the guy who binds this team together. You'll have Steph, you'll have Klay, you'll have Poole, you'll have everyone scoring. But without Draymond and defense, this is not the same team.
Yeah, that plus minus minus is without... he doesn't have triple-double level stats. So a lot of that plus-minus is basically him winning matchups. Like individual offensive sequence matchups against Jokic. Getting a stop on him at one end, getting the assist or points on him at the other end. That's pretty much where Draymond's plus-minus comes from. And I thought he did a great job.
Yep. Warriors await the winners of Memphis and Minnesota. It might go all the way, which means the Warriors will be well-rested before that series. If the Warriors had to pick one team amongst these two, which would you think they would be comfortable with? I know they start off as favorite against either of the teams, but who would be easier for the Warriors in terms of matchup perspective? Would it be Memphis? Would it be Minnesota with that size that Cat brings in?
Yeah.
Or the effort and hustle that Memphis bring in, which is going to trouble the Warriors a little more?
I think the Warriors have enough hustle to take on the Grizzlies. And barring Jamorant, there's not a lot that will trouble the Warriors. It's a good team. I mean, Desmond Bane, all these guys, they're great, but Warriors can handle that with ease. And Memphis don't really have playoff defense to write home about. Look how they struggle against Minnesota. It's come to a point where they've stopped trying, as has Minnesota. Nobody in that series is trying to defend
it. Yeah, Minnesota's inexperience is clearly showing in this series.
Yeah, so for the Warriors, it's just by virtue of you shut down one player and you win. It's the Grizzlies for me, because this they've been through a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. They played the Rockets with James Harden, just shut him down and it's over. They've played the Thunder or whatever. They've played the Trailblazers more than once.
Yeah.
You know, get Lillard and that's it. Get AD in the Pelicans and that's it. So this is a beaten track for them versus the T-Wolves, which are basically a light version of a super team with the number of top lottery picks that they have on that squad. And all of them are sort of stepping up and stepping into their offensive best years. I think that would be a little tricky. I'd expect the Warriors to win either way, but relatively easier for me as a matchup would be the Grizzlies.
I agree. I think the Timberwolves have troubled the Warriors. Even in the regular season, Cat was dominant in this matchups, right? So I agree. And Memphis, meanwhile, has also troubled the Warriors. If you remember, they knocked out the Warriors, in fact, in the play-in last season. And this season, I think they're 3-1 up against the Warriors in four games in the regular season. So, but I think the Warriors start off as favorites, either of the
players. Sure.
But for Denver, another unfortunate season. Would you just put it down to that? Just lack of players. Quality players. It was Jokic and a bunch of role players. I mean, they literally had 10 role players and Jokic playing on their team. Would you just write it off as an unfortunate season, come back stronger, hopefully a healthier team, because Jamal Murray is on the verge of coming back. Hopefully should start next season. MPJ will come back. He should start next season. And this will look like a totally different team once they're playing. So would you just write it off as an unfortunate season, or is there any improvements to be made in terms of the player quality, any additions you think, or where do they lack anywhere?
Yeah, the sad part is they didn't really get to stress test their full strength starting lineup. It's not a disappointing season by any stretch. It's disappointing only if they have expectations. With they knew Jamal Murray was out for pretty much the whole season, unless they made a very late playoff run. They knew MPJ, you know, eventually they found out MPJ has gone too for the season. So you kind of knew they were just getting to the playoffs is about as good as it gets. So maybe nick a game or two and that's that, which is pretty much what happened. I think it's still premature for them to be making changes with the chip in mind. I think this team still has a little more to prove before we start getting into that conversation. Utah for me are a step ahead, and even they're not a part of that conversation yet.
Right.
So for now, I think they've step by step done a good job of replacing aging players with fresher talent. They had a big vacuum at the four, they also had, you know, they lost folks to Detroit, they lost folks to a bunch of other franchises, and they had to bring in Aaron Gordon to plug that gap. And MPJ now steps up to the starting lineup, or so they thought. I think they'll take probably another season, maybe load up on whatever they need to. But spot up shooters wouldn't hurt, like a Seth Curry light version wouldn't hurt. If Duncan Robinson's on the market, they should go for it. Because Jamal Murray can create his own shot and can play make. Jokic can absolutely play make and get his own shot. MPJ is just a straight up points machine. So to supplement that with shooters would be interesting, but they really need to beef up their defense. I think that's pretty much what they should be looking to do, because otherwise they're another Utah for me. Bunch of scoring options. They can bomb from deep, but Utah can defend too. It's just they can't ever get it to all work at the same time. That's their problem. Yeah. Denver probably can. So if they can beef up their defense, I think they'll be in good shape. Jeremy Grant was a big miss on that front, right? So they've got to got to fill that gap.
I agree. Talking about beefing up defense, I think the Chicago Bulls need to beef up the defense. We saw the last game of the season today. Just run over by Giannis, and run over is probably an understatement. Yeah. I don't even know the adjectives or verbs for that anymore. He just came out, close out game. I'm going to get it done in three quarters.
Rough shot.
Play the fourth quarter. Yeah. 33 points, 35 points, something like that. No contest at all. The Bulls, though, they had a great start to the season. In fact, 60% of the season was great. The last 26 games, they lost 19 in the regular season. That is terrible. You saw them slip from top spot to barely make the playoffs and then just wiped out in the playoffs. They won one game, but that's more to do with Milwaukee just not being Milwaukee, the typical Milwaukee. They usually lose a game in every series that they play. That was that one game. DeMar DeRozan was amazing. Let's not take away anything from him. 41-point game. But today, just 10 shots. Bulls really need to beef up the defense, if anything, for next season.
Yeah, they ran out of juice. It's a lot like the Cavs. At some point, they just ran out of juice. It was too much from year one, too much to expect from this squad for year one. They've got a bunch of stuff to look at. Defense would be their biggest headache. Although I'm not going to take this game as much of an indicator. I think coming into this game, they knew the series was over. Everyone knew the series was over.
And Lavin was out. So
yeah, exactly.
Caruso was out.
And any chance that, usually when you're the Bucks or any team like that in this position, the stronger team looking to close it out, you make a statement in the first quarter or the first half, and that pretty much tells the other team they're not fooling around. It's going to take a lot to challenge them, and it's probably not going to happen anyway. That kind of mentally just kills off the team, and that's what Giannis did. I think 15 of his 32 or 33 came in the first quarter alone, and that was enough. They sent a signal. They're not complacent. They're not messing around. And that's it. That was game over for the Bulls. So they stopped. At that point, they just stopped. So this game alone probably is not the best indicator of how well they can defend. But they've got something going there with DeRozan and LaVine, if they can hold on to both. LaVine's best option would be to re-sign with the Bulls. So I would imagine they'll hold on. And they've got Vucevic now. Their real challenge is, forget the defense for a second. Their real challenge is DeRozan's now going to enter his twilight years. Mm-hmm. So they'll have him as a mentor, but really it's up to LaVine and Vucevic now. So their challenge is, how do they integrate Vucevic into this? It's something they've not done very well.
Forgotten, because he's been missing from a long time.
Yeah, so he's, again, another reason why their defense is not being great. He's a big part of their defense whenever it works. Him and Caruso both. So they've got their playmaker, they've got their star shooting guard, they've got a wing player who's still pretty decent, DeRozan, both ways of the on the court. They've got a lineup, they've got some depth. Maybe, again, any team in the NBA these days could use a few shooters that they can bring off the bench, and there is a market for them. That's how the demand supply is these days. You get shooters more than any other skill set. So they could use some of that. But I think their biggest challenge is, how do they get Vucevic back? How do they get Orlando Magic Vucevic? That's something I think throughout the season they've really not been able to do consistently, even for like a few games in one stretch. Is how do they integrate Vucevic? That they've not done. This match, he kind of had an okay game, but it was a game where nobody cared anyway.
Right.
How do they bring him in? If they can get that to happen, and if Levine can be Levine and continue to be him, this is a squad. This is a really, really good squad that could probably go deep next season.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On Think Fast, Varun and Sujitha discuss Netflix's new buttons and do a rundown on the ongoing hiring and firing trends in startups. On Big Talk About Tiny Humans, Devi Shobha and Meghna share strategies to help your child develop a healthy self-image. On Cyrus Says, Nivedita, Naveen, Antriksh and Cyrus discuss KGF Chapter 2 crossing 200 crore rupees over a single weekend. On Smarter with Sid, Siddharth talks about whether brands should use sustainability as an angle for marketing. And on Tere Mere Raaste, Keshav takes us to the sea of humanity and faith, the Kumbh Mela. Do follow us on social media. We're IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And remember, if you're enjoying this show or any of our other shows for that matter, please do tell a friend. Also, please don't forget to rate us on any of the platforms you're listening to us on. And remember, you can always check us out on YouTube. We have a number of channels. You can go to ivmpodcast.com/YouTube to take a look at what those channels are. We're also doing a small listener survey to understand how you respond to our shows and the advertising on the network. We would really, really appreciate it if you could spare a few minutes to fill it out. It really helps us build better shows for you and understand what you're looking for from advertising and what we can talk to advertisers about who you are. Please go to ivmpodcast.com/survey. It really, really, really would help us out. Thank you so much. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors for the network this week, SBI Life Insurance, India Water Portal, and Jupiter, a digital banking app. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Yeah, agreed. I think they lived up to the expectation. They really exceed expectations from the roster they put up. But I think, well, first round playoffs, I think that's what we expected and predicted at the start of the season. So can't complain too much about the Chicago Bulls. The Bucks move on to the next round, play the Boston Celtics. Sunday early game. That's going to be fun. Any particular matchup you're looking forward to? Is it just going to be Tatum versus Giannis? I'm actually looking forward to the guard matchup. Jrue Holiday versus Marcus Smart, DPOY versus one of the best defenders in the league. Nobody's going to score.
Yeah. No, I think they will. That's the sad part. I think it's going to be some amazing defense and then somebody will score at the end of it. So I like how Jokic was getting shots off today against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. I think we'll see a lot of that, which is really what the playoffs are all about. Tight defense, but even better offense. That's what you hope to see. And both teams are capable of that. I don't know if Tatum and Giannis would face off directly. I think it's probably going to be more of Giannis and Williams. But Tatum would probably be tasked with guarding Middleton. Good test again for Middleton. Last season, he really, really stepped up in clutch moments and showed that he could be their finisher. Tatum, right now in the East, Tatum's probably the biggest defensive challenge for any perimeter player. Offensive challenge for any perimeter player looking to score is, can you do it over Tatum? Can you do it with him guarding you one-on-one? It's Tatum in the East and Draymond in the West. That's pretty much Draymond for all positions in the West, 1-5. And then Tatum on the perimeter in the East. I think that's the matchup that's going to be fun. And it'll probably be the key matchup also, because it'll go both ways. I think Middleton will have to defend Tatum at the other end. The net difference in that matchup would have a huge bearing on the outcome of the series. Because Giannis is going to get his. Nobody's stopping Giannis. And Giannis is going to stop whoever at the other end. So now you've got basically the Jrue versus Brown battle, who's going to win that, and the Tatum versus Middleton battle, who's going to win that, with of course the Tatum battle being a little more crucial.
I agree. I like the Celtics team because on most teams, even championship teams, you usually have a weak defender and he's kind of the target. You put your best offensive player, try to get a switch on him and then target him, right?
Yeah,
in the Celtics lineup, there is no weak link. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Horford, Williams. all of them great at defense.
I don't think he offered though. He's okay. I think
he's still been okay. He can hold his own. I mean, he's not really a weak link as such. He's weakest amongst the five probably.
Yeah.
But not really someone you can target and make a... I mean, he's not an easy target is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, he's a bit like Millsap a couple of seasons ago where, you know, he's wily and he's been there a lot. So he gets... His positioning is bang on, but it's not the same speed, strength or agility anymore. But he makes good reads. So he gets into the right positions. He knows his angles, how to cut off lanes and all that stuff. But that's not going to be enough because who's he going to be guarding in the paint? It's largely going to be Giannis. Maybe some Brook Lopez action and Bobby Portis. I don't think Horford can really contend against any of these guys. That's going to be the big issue. And if they stretch him out to the perimeter, Lopez and Portis both often find themselves on the perimeter. If that happens, Horford's going to have a bit of a struggle because I don't think he quite has the mobility to go back and forth and cover the paint also. Coming to think of it, that's something they should try and exploit. You may be onto something there. The weakest link, relatively weakest link, whatever. He's not a bad defender, but he is the weaker of the lot. Maybe that's a mismatch they should explore. How do you get Horford away from the paint and to the perimeter? Yep. Because if Portis or Lopez can drag him there, that just opens up a world of room for Giannis to drive in.
And when you're talking about the weakest link, I was actually trying to think of the weakest link in the Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm thinking there's no weak link there either. Jrue Holiday, Wesley Matthews, great defender, Chris Middleton. Brook Lopez, who can hold his own in the basket, under the paint.
Yeah.
In the paint, under the basket. And Giannis, probably the best defender in the league. So, there's no weak link. This is going to be a defense versus defense matchup. It's going to be a playoff classic. That's all I can... I don't see a sweep. I don't see a five-game series. Six or seven at the least.
Don't forget Thanasis is Antetokounmpo off the bench. Him and his defense.
He's probably the best sixth. I can't call him a sixth man. He's probably the best eighth man of the year for the amount of energy he gets off the bench.
It's the plus one deal nobody asked for.
That's going to be a fun matchup. You're picking the Bucks, right? I'm picking the Celtics. I'm putting my
head out there. Way. It's going to be tight.
It's going to be super tight. A bunch of fun games tomorrow. There could be three series that could close out. The Suns take on the Pelicans, 3-2 lead. Raptors take on the Sixers. I don't think it'll close out tomorrow, but still a 3-2 lead. And the Mavs versus the Jazz, they also have a 3-2 lead. So,
listen, if the Raptors, if the Sixers don't close it tomorrow, it's done. The series is over. There's no way they win Game 7.
Agreed. Game 7, no, they're not winning. Even though it's in Philadelphia, I don't think they're winning because Embiid is going to be gassed out by Game 7. Harden's been
The universe,
momentum and all of that.
It's going to, it's Doc Rivers, it's 3-0 lead. It's the first time ever anyone's blown a 3-0. There's too much in Toronto's favor if Philly don't close it out tomorrow.
Agreed. And no Thybul because they're playing in Toronto and he's probably the best defender. So. And also probably no Van Fleet because he got injured and walked away in the last game. So
it kind of balances out. It's all right then.
You're picking the Raptors to win tomorrow?
So head says... Okay,
you'd like the Raptors to win.
Head says Philly, but heart says Raptors. I need the story to happen.
Same. I agree. Same. Suns versus Pelicans, the same thing. I would like the Pelicans to win, but I think the Suns will just close it out.
I think that's fair. I don't know though. I don't know. So one more game. The way this thing's been topsy-turvy, I'm still not writing the Pelicans off. Let's see if it goes to Game 7, there's going to be a lot of jittery.
Booker might be fit tomorrow and might play a few minutes.
That might tip the scales in their favor. If he's there, then it's a little too much. It's a bridge too far.
Right.
But Toronto, man, we need that action. We need that action in our lives.
100%. We need at least one 7-game series, right? It could also be the Mavs versus Jazz. I think Jazz need to come back after that last game. They got blown out, scored 78 points in 4 quarters. That was terrible. So they really need to bounce back or else this team is getting blown out. I can see Donovan Mitchell moving. I can see Rudy Gobert moving. It's going to be a new look Jazz.
So here's what's going to happen. Quinn Snyder, by the way, deserves a good better project. Team, So either... Like
the Lakers?
So here's where I'm going with it. if Utah can convince him that they've got a big picture and, you know, he gets to have some say in that and he calls some shots, sort of like Phil Jackson at the Lakers, something like that. Then I think he should stay or he deserves something bigger, better. I think he's earned it after all these years in Utah. Now, so here's what's going to happen. The Jazz should get knocked out. tomorrow. Tomorrow is the next match. Yeah, so they get knocked out tomorrow. They'll blow it up. They're not going to give up Donovan Mitchell. That's not going to happen. He's going to stay. So they'll give up Gobert then. Tough-ish contract to move, but there'll be enough takers. One of the best defenders. Like yeah, exactly.
At least in the regular season. So.
Yeah, and if you've got a shittier contract than that on your roster, you would maybe find a way to get a Gobert in exchange for getting rid of that shitty contract. Westbrook. So that's one thing that should happen. The other thing related, sort of, is Toronto should win game six. If they win game six, they're winning game seven. There's no way they lose that game. They go through, and I don't know how much further they get, but they go through to the next. They play Miami, right?
Yep.
Not exactly a write-off. I mean, they have a shot. Miami are definitely favorites, but Toronto have a shot. Suddenly now you're thinking conference finals. Twice after Kawhi left. I think that would be a great way to send off Nick Nurse to the Lakers and Gobert to the Lakers.
Why would Nick Nurse leave, say, Toronto Raptors, which is a great organization, not known for tanking, even with below average team, they make the playoffs. And
Lakers never tanked either. Not on purpose. Their squad was just so shit they didn't win. They've never done the whole Philadelphia process thing.
That's an organization where he has a say, where he has a lot of power to make changes and whatnot. He has a great boss in Masai Ujiri. Why would you move to Lakers where you don't know how much power you're going to have? It's player control.
So the Lakers can get Ujiri also. I don't think Pelinka is very safe right now.
I don't think he wants to move.
Get the whole... you are Masai Ujiri. Sitting here. Where is he from? Does anyone know his hometown? Let's look it up. This might be an interesting thing to check. I need to know this. Because I'm putting together the Lakers front office and the roster for next year. Ujiri. I don't know. Wikipedia page, this guy. Hometown. Masai Ujiri. He is from Nigeria. Okay, cool. So, didn't really grow up in any... I was afraid, what if he's a Toronto native or something? Then he's used to the cold. As long as he's from Nigeria, anywhere outside, basically, the north. He's used to tropical climate or equatorial weather and that kind of stuff, right? Why would you want to languish in Toronto? In a franchise that won one chip that Kawhi delivered.
You went from saying... Wow, one chip to two conference finals to only one chip. You went from saying Toronto great organization to a full finals.
I mean, Lakers go to conference finals every 2-3 years for fun. When did that happen?
It's an achievement. They happened in the bubble. When did that happen before that? 2010. That's not every 2-3 years.
No, so you've got to average it out over 2-3 decades. Why not?
Why 2-3 decades? It has to be the last 5 years or last 10 years.
Okay, chips in the last 10 years.
One.
Who? Lakers? Two.
Yeah.
2010.
That's 12 years ago, not 10 years.
2010 to 2020. I'm looking at decades. This is just the start of the next decade. So, if you're Masai Ujiri, why would you want to languish in the cold over there? Really, conference finals keep you in a franchise? Nope. So, Masai Ujiri should move to the Lakers. He has a lot of power in Toronto, but the Lakers are probably the biggest franchise in the league, with the biggest name in the league, and they've got absolutely nobody with any power right now, except for the owner. Like, nobody has any clue what they're doing in the franchise. Perfect time to come spread your wings. Bring Nick Nurse with you. First thing you do, get rid of Westbrook, bring in Gobert somehow. I don't know how that deal works, but make it work. And then we'll see. We'll build from there. LeBron, AD, Gobert, I've seen worse squads.
Wow, okay.
So basically, AD is out for the regular season, right? So it's LeBron and Gobert, they'll get it done. And then AD comes in the playoffs and sweeps everyone.
Wow, okay. That's a nice fairy tale to hope and wish. I don't even think it's coming anywhere close to that. I don't think Nick Nurse is moving. Nor is Ujiri or anyone. Nor is Gobert coming.
Nor is anyone giving Gobert for Westbrook for that matter.
Well, on that note, I think we'll go and enjoy our games for tomorrow. Yeah. It's going to be a fun matchup. Fun matchups, actually, three of them. All of them could close out and we could have a couple of rest days.
What are you looking forward to? Which matchup?
I'm looking forward to the Raptors Sixers. I'm rooting for the Raptors. I know it's a tough ask, but I'm rooting for the Raptors. You can't really hope that Doc Rivers blows up one more 3-0 lead.
1-0, 3-1 lead. Yeah, 3-0 would be the 3-1. First ever for anyone, but
yep,
but
yep.
He's
you did see his interview today? 3-1.
Yeah, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did he say that? Did he mean that all of his role
what's
players?
He, what's he like, talking about? So he was talking about the Clippers series. So he was explaining about, each of them, right? And
yes, he said the Clippers, was, Chris Paul is injured.
For the first two games.
Yes.
Yeah, they had a 3-1 lead, then they blew it. So what if Chris Paul is out in the first two games? They blew it after game four, not after game two.
Yes, and I think he mentioned Houston, was it? No, where did he?
Orlando. Yeah, the previous one, yeah, the one before was in Orlando.
Yeah, he mentioned somebody got injured then, and then he's like...
Yeah, what was the excuse with Orlando?
Somebody else got injured. I don't remember the name.
I don't know who was on that squad. There. I think that was his point. He said, if you look at the roster, it's just a bunch of nobodies, and you decide, great coaching job. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Whatever. You're 3-1 up with what
and
you
then
have. Clearly, you could have gone 4-1 up and closed it.
And like, then he said, we blew it up against the Nuggets. That was the only blow up. But that wasn't the bubble. Anything could have happened in the bubble. I'm like, what? What are you talking? That was a hilarious interview. I don't even know what he's saying. And for him to defend this when he's holding a 3-1 advantage,
yeah, it's very
was
sad.
That he's under pressure. So,
It shows he's still insecure about this thing. He knows people are talking about it. He doesn't like it and he wanted to address it. That's sad. That is very, very sad. Makes me want to pray all the more for a Toronto victory. And I don't even believe in prayers. I'm just going to be praying anyway for something to happen. I'll probably be switching between this and the Mavs game. I'm really interested to see.
Yeah, I think the Mavs game is later. It's after that.
So is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because do we get a ruthless Luka? That's the one thing I want to see. Okay, you've got talent. You're a regular season, this, that, whatever. Tatum has ascended. He's getting into that zone where... start of the year, him, Jaylen Brown, him, it's Tatum. It's clear. It's Tatum. It's Tatum by a mile now on that squad. Luka, there's no contender even. He doesn't have a Jaylen Brown. He has a Jalen Brunson, but it's not the same thing. But can he, every superstar has that vicious side to him. Close out game, you smell blood, you put it to bed. Giannis did that.
Giannis today. Yeah,
does that routinely. Tatum did that.
Steph
bunch
in
of
the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. Can Luka do that? Because to let Utah come back in the series, it's just, this should have been a 4-1. They've stretched this series so far, but okay, two games, Luka was out. They've got to close it out tomorrow. So that's Agreed. What intrigues me.
Agreed. Yeah, I think so too. I'll be rooting for the Mavs. I don't want this to go to 7. I would prefer the Raptors Sixers to go to 7 instead.
Right.
But that's all on today's episode. We'll come back and talk tomorrow about these games. It should be great fun. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, Doc. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to check out our other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcasts.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on our social media. We're at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to us, and you know you do, you know you want to reach out to us and tell us that our opinions on your favorite players are trash. You want to tell us Magic Johnson is still better than Steph Curry and you don't think Steph Curry has changed the game. For all that and more, reach out to us on both Instagram and Twitter.
If you love cricket, listen up. The Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast is here for you. Hosted by DJ, Varun, and me, Ashwin, we bring a fun, fresh, fans' point of view to talking all things cricket. Sometimes it's just the three of us, sometimes we have guests, including current and former international cricketers. For new episodes every week, check out the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast on the IVM app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working Monday to Friday, glued to your chair, making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts from.